I'm going to ask my brother to come up. Those of you who don't know, this Ron has been part of my life for a number of years. I don't want to trade him in yet. I want to keep him for a while. And,
why would you want to trade him in?
Well, you know, sometimes they get faded and stuff, but this guy gets brighter and brighter every day. Lift your hands to him.
I don't think he's going to lose any luster anytime soon.
Yeah, lift your hands to him. Father, we just want to bless Ron right now. Thank you for the message that you've poured into him, and we're looking forward to hear what your Spirit has revealed. Let us have ears and eyes and a heart to perceive what you're speaking to us. Amen?
Amen.
Go for it, Ron.
Well, it started with what happened right at the beginning of the service tonight, which brought a confirmation because I sure didn't know what to bring tonight. And it has to do with that exercise that we did.
Oh, okay.
How many realize that it helps us to build up our inner man? Okay, the Word of God says that we have received a gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for a reason. Because it's a baptism of power. That's what strengthens us. It builds that new man that God has placed within us. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that when we received Christ, we became new creatures. But that new creature has to be built up. And that is the means of growing up. But how many of you know that when we start to grow and mature in the things of God, we have an enemy that wants to block everything. And most people at first do not realize that this enemy has been defeated. Mm-hmm. And many a times, and I'm the first, I'm guilty, I kept looking at circumstances more than I was looking to God. So, at various times, I kept hearing, you know, certain scriptures that were being taught that said something like this: our fight or our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's against spirituality. Spiritual powers, authorities, and principalities. So I began to wonder, you know, so how do I do that? And then another time I got a message that says, work out the salvation of your soul with great fear and trembling. Yeah, I'm wondering, what does it mean? Well, how do you work out the salvation of your soul? And lo and behold, the word work out, what does it say? In order to work something out, it's got to be in already. God has placed his nature in us. He has placed his mind in us. Philippians tells us very clearly, we do have the mind of Christ. But if you look at one another, great majority of the time, you would think the complete opposite is true. Because we're not really, well, I would mean the majority of people are not really walking according to the mind of Christ, because they're not accomplishing the works of God. So how does it come about? We have been given a tongue to use what God has said to do, for us to do. In Romans 10, he tells us that the word is as close to us as our in our mouth and then into our heart. in the natural, you would tend to think it's the opposite. The word would be in our heart and then it would come out of our mouth. But he says, the word is as close to us as, first of all, our mouth and then our heart. So that means we have to take the word of God, the promises of God, and everything that he speaks of in this book, and we have to build it inside of us. It has to get into our heart so that when the time comes that it's needed to fight these principalities and powers and authorities, it will flow freely out of us by the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that has the power, that is the authority that's in us. Because our mind, if not renewed to the truths of God, we tend more to look at the natural that's around us or the circumstances that we're living. And the enemy makes sure that we stay in that realm because he doesn't want us to attain to what is given in there. Because the day we attain to it, what happens? We're going to destroy him. The light in us is going to become so bright that he will not be able to stand it. And that's the one day that he is afraid of, like you wouldn't believe. How many of you have a hard time praying in tongues for long periods of time? A lot of people, I have found, even myself. At one time, I used to be able to just pray in spirit for 8, 10, 12. I've gone up as high as 18 hours in one stretch. But that was when I had a dandy of a fight with the enemy, because I was going like this. And I just didn't know. And every time I tried to pray, the enemy would get on my case and bother me in my mind. Like the thoughts that were coming were just, I couldn't believe that I would still be getting that kind of thoughts coming into my heart. So I'd say to him, okay, you want to bother me with this? Another 1 or 2 hours on my knees praying in tongues. And it got so bad at one time, one day in particular, he just kept up and kept up and kept up. So I said, okay, another hour. And I kept at him, because in that hour, he kept bugging me and, you know, putting all kinds of thoughts in my heart. And I just couldn't, you know, that can't be, can't stand that. So I worked up 18 hours that day on my knees, praying in tongues. And then I kept it up for a while after that. But after that 18 hours, you know what happened? Any time from that point on that I started praying in tongues, no thoughts contrary to the Word of God ever came. I had somehow attained to a certain degree where the Spirit in me was stronger than what was in there. And it got to that point. But how many know that we'll go, now, we're human beings, we're flesh and blood still, and we're living in a world that is all contrary to the realm of the Spirit. And how many know, many a times, we have the tendency to let down. Yes. I'm guilty of that.
Yes.
I'm guilty just as anybody else, and a lot of people are probably even guiltier than that, than, you know, some. Because we forget. The Hebrew people started in the power of God when they got delivered, but somewhere along the way, and it didn't take very long, they started to complain and all kinds of stuff, and they walked away. They just left the covenant that they had with their God. God would raise up someone to bring them out of problems, and for a time everything went real good. They were blessed and everything else. But then, again, down the slope. It's the history of mankind. We've all done it. I've done it more times than I care to admit. But every time that we try to get back up, it seems like it gets harder and harder. So we got to push. We've got to push and we've got to make up our mind. Hey, am I going to walk according to everything I see and hear around me? Or am I going to walk with the Spirit? I have a choice to make. And that's where the choices come in. We either walk with Him or we stay in our old condition. But if we'll decide to walk with Him, then we're going to have to fight principalities. But what are principalities? Jesus said to us something that is very profound. He said something like this: the words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. That is beautiful. But don't stop there. When the enemy whispers words to you, these words are spirit too. But they are death. They are death. And if you find yourself accepting these words, it'll bring death in your life, in whatever area where there is a weakness in you. And this is where we have to be very attentive to realize. And just to give you an example, I almost got had a few years ago. Gail will remember, because she was the first one that spotted me when I was sitting in a chair at the very back row here one Sunday morning. I had been sent down here, but I had been given a message in the spring concerning someone. But the way the message came to me, it felt like it was condemning. There's a lot of condemnation in that message. And at first, I was sitting there. Something is not sitting right with that message. But it was so vivid that I just couldn't put it away. So I started seeking the Lord, and I spent a whole day, 9 hours, going back and forth in the house, questioning the Lord, and bringing him back into remembrance of His word. Because I just did not like that word that I was given to come and deliver. Until about 9 hours later, the Lord finally said, it's not a message of condemnation, it's a message to bring back restoration. But that person will have a choice to make. Oh, when I got that, that kind of quieted me down. But I had shared with Kim about that message when I first got it in the morning. And it troubled him too, I remember. Very clearly, it troubled him too. But then the next day he called me. Yes, the person that you spoke, yeah, I found the scripture that goes along with it. So that kind of put me at ease too, that it was scriptural because it's in the Bible. But then I told him, I queried the Lord, because for 9 hours I just did not have peace about that message until the Lord told me the reason why, and that it was to be presented in a very different manner than what the way I had received it. You know what happens in a case like this? When our heart, our mind, our will and mind and emotion are not fully renewed, the messages that we do get can come in a very odd way, sometimes very condemning. It has a lot to do with our nature, the way we are in many ways, in many instances. And until we go to the Lord to find out what is the true message, we could hurt a lot of people. So that's why the Word of God says, never be too quick to speak, but be quicker to hear and to see. Have you ever noticed? You got two ears, you got two eyes, and you got two sides for smelling. But you've only got one mouth and one tongue. That should tell us something. Be quick to hear, be quick to see, but very slow to speak. In other words, don't give out things too quickly without having gone to your master first to find out what it is. If it is the right way or if it is not. Find out from him what he wants done, and he'll give you. He'll give it to you. And then another thing that I found out the hard way. Don't take off right away to go and do whatever he's told you. Wait on him. There's a time of preparation. I got this message, I believe, was somewhere around in February of that year. You know when I was sent? It was in August of that same year that the Lord finally gave me. He'll make sure that when it's time, he'll let you know in under no uncertain terms. When the Spirit of God gets on you for 4 or 5 hours straight, you're going to go and deliver that message. He doesn't let go until you respond.
Amen.
I remember because that night when I went to bed around midnight, he didn't let go of me until 4 in the morning. When I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go. Instantly, from the moment I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go and deliver the word, I just fell asleep and I started to snore. I had to be up at 6:30. So I had 2.5 hours of rest because I was gone the whole day the next day. But he made sure. But I didn't know one thing at that point. How many know sometimes the Lord will put you to a test? Because the time when he told me to come and deliver that word, guess what? The person that I was to deliver the word to was gone on vacation. He wasn't even in the area at all. So I'm sitting there at first, you know, I didn't know. Until another person got up, said, our pastor and his wife are gone on vacation for 2 weeks. And I'm sitting there, Lord, what's going on here? You specifically told me to come down and deliver that word. You must have known he's gone on vacation. You know all things. You're everywhere and you're omniscient and omnipotent. What am I going to have to come back another time to deliver that message? And the whole service, don't ask me what the man preached on. I haven't got a clue. I was busy with the Lord finding out what was going on. Was I going to have to make another trip to come and deliver that message? Until towards the end of the service, the Lord tells me, remember a word I gave you years and years ago? That whenever I would ask you to do something, you would be obedient and go. Oh boy. You just went through the test just to show you that whenever I will tell you, and in my way, you will be obedient and you will go. You've done it. You've just proved it. But then that's just between me and the Lord. I don't know any further than that. So I come back here after leaving that place. I'm sitting there, and then he looks at me. He says, you just went through a test, huh? How was he to know? Just to let you know, the Spirit of God will use anybody to let you know whether you were right and you were in the right way at the right time and for whatever purpose. Because I was asking him, am I going to come back? Am I going to have to come back to deliver that message? But I wasn't getting any answer. The only answer I got was I had gone through the test and passed. He didn't know that. So it was a confirmation to me. That's when I realized that at one point in us there are all kinds of things, because let's face it, the enemy has had years and years to build his kingdom in us, in our minds, our will, and our emotion. There are things that over the years we have learned, and we have built a belief system in us that is so strong that we have a hard time breaking away from it. That becomes principles that are very strong. They become a force within us. And only the Spirit of God can break them. But until He puts His finger on that thing and shows it to you, no matter what, I mean, it could be the best preacher in the world that'll come and give you a message. If you're so stuck on that truth, or what you think is a truth or a reality in your life, it's a principle that you learned when you were young and you grew up with it. Only the Spirit of God can break it out of you and give you the truth to replace that principality. Mm-hmm. That's what a principality or a dominion is in your life. It comes from the enemy. It's not, you didn't grow up into this by yourself. We've all been trained. I mean, I've been in places that when I found out the truth, man, I just took my two legs and ran. I didn't walk out, I ran. Because when you're taught to do certain things, and then you see those very same people that are teaching you these things do the complete opposite, you begin to ask questions. You start to question yourself and the very people that are teaching you. But that was God's way of awakening me to what I was being trained and what I was being taught. And that happened early on in life. I started receiving and seeing through these things at the age of 14. Because I was being trained, most of you don't know that, but I was being trained as a missionary to go into the world. I started that at just before I turned 12. It was 3 years in this, and I mean, I was going up in that order quite fast, because I was able to speak three languages. I learned languages like, to me, it was like a piece of cake. And then the Lord kind of opened my ears, because I'd walk into an area and I could hear these very people that were teaching me, that had the charge of training me, speaking things and doing things that just were complete opposite of what we're being taught. And I started that question, and when they would see me appear around the corner, they'd switch over and start talking another language, which they knew. Most of that order knew that language, knew part. But some of them didn't realize that I understood every word, because I was able to translate that language into French, and French to that language as well. So I learned a lot of things in that 1 year, and finally it came to a point where I said to the Lord, I called my father, I said, "You come and get me out of here and bring me home, or otherwise you'll never see me again." What I didn't realize was the depth of the meaning of that saying. I was getting to know so many things that I was starting to get vocal about. And that's something that you must not do when you're in that kind of space. Never go against that, because sure, as sure as you're standing there or sitting there, in a month or two, you're not going to be anywhere around. You're going to be gone. Because they do away with anyone that comes against them, that comes against their form of teaching. That's how bad it was. So that was, I didn't realize that until a few years later, when I knew of a friend of mine who had been in, well, he'd been in that ministry for 15 or 20 years. And they finally killed him because the guy came to the Lord, but he became very vocal. He was going from place to place in North America and just giving the truth versus what he had been taught. And the man was very high up. They tried, I couldn't even begin to tell you the amount of times that they tried to get rid of him. But they finally succeeded after 15 years of trying to get him. They finally done away with him. Just because he became too vocal. So I learned that way, but the thing is, the Lord, I had to learn the wisdom of the Lord to get away from this and just stay within the parameters of this. In other words, when you stay within the parameters of the Word and in the Spirit, and if you speak only when the Spirit guides you to do so, especially in situations like this, when he's the one speaking through you, you'll see results that will be beneficial rather than destructive. Because when we speak the other way, we spread more destruction than we even know or even realize. All because if we have still within us wrong beliefs, if we still have strongholds in our lives that are not dealt with at one point or another, we have to be careful, because the enemy will use anything in any way that he can to bring forth destruction. First, for you and those who hear you. See, we're not alone in this thing. People have kind of a mindset that when they see someone standing at the front here giving out the word, that we're above other people, the rest of the people. That is the furthest thing from the truth that there is. If you want to open your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, 4, and 5. It tells you, I'll take Kim as an example. He's a messenger of God. He brings forth messages. He's in the ministry. I come along and I give a word also. I bring teaching or bring messages. And lo and behold, he may have thought on these things. So what does that mean? I have just come in and I water. But who is it that gives the increase if it's a word from God? The Father. He is the only one that gives life. Well, in other words, what I'm trying to tell you, come to the realization that we are only vessels that carry the messenger. Because the real messenger is the Lord from above. That's why we have to learn to be very slow to speak and get our act together and get them cleaned up and renewed. Because, put it this way, God will not share his glory with anyone. He'll not give you power if he can't trust you to do the right thing or move in the right way when he says to. In his manner. Why? Because it can be so destructive and bring about death in a way that we have no idea. We haven't got a clue. Because we have an enemy that has had over 6,000 years of experience in building wrong things in people's lives. But yet, okay, take for myself, I'm about 73, but I came to the Lord at the age of 36. I had a big baggage. not only of my own, but what I carried from my own family on down, from generation to generation. Until I get fully cleaned up, I have to be very careful and ask the Lord, what is it that He wants me to do, when He wants me to do it. And even then, you've got to do it His way. Amen. Because if we don't do it His way, don't look for the blessings of God in your life, because you're not going to have them. He's got to get to a point where we have to come to a point where He's able to trust us with His gifts, with His messages to bring to others His way. In other words, it's a total abandonment of who we are. Abandoning our tongue, our thoughts, our eyes, our ears, and even our center. The thing that we have to realize, and it's been the hardest truth for me to learn, is, hey, the old Ron Lally, if I follow the scripture, he's dead. He died at Calvary. But until you let that crazy box up here know it, to the point where you become completely convinced that it's the truth, there's still the other way in there. You see, Galatians 2:20 is a reality. Everything, as a matter of fact, everything in that book is already a reality in each and every one of us. But until we become changed here in our thoughts, our sentiments, and our wills, we're walking in two camps. And that's why a lot of times people are in problems, and we live things that, hey, when we come to the Lord, how come I'm living this? How come it's happening to me? Have you given me that area of your life? Is it completely cleaned out and changed? Are you fully convinced of the promises that I gave you? Have you grabbed them and made them a reality in your life? Are they real to the point where you can actually touch it? We have to come to that. Even the faith that's in us. It's not even our faith. It's His faith. Jude 20. There's one verse that gave me more headaches than I can ever shake a stick at. Because it says, but ye beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden it kind of hit me. What in the world is so holy about my faith? There's nothing holy about my faith. So then what is in the world is that verse saying? Praying, building up your most holy faith. There's only one person that is most holy, and it's the Lord God. That's when Galatians 2:20 started to make sense. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 started to make sense. Hey, I became a new creation when I received the Lord. But, lo and behold, it's something that had already happened at Calvary Street 2,000 years ago. I only received it in 1978. That's when I had the first clue. That's when the first change came. But a lot of people stopped there. I used to have a little saying, yeah, most people in the church have made the first step into the kingdom of God and they stopped there. And then, a little bit later on, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've made one more step in the kingdom of God. And then from that point on, they think they've got everything. And they never move from there. And then they start wondering down the road, well, how come this is happening to me? Why is this happening to me? I belong to the Lord. I'm saved. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Many of the gifts are in operation in my life. How come I'm not seeing the fruit? A lot of, in the word says that they are fruit, but you could change the word fruit to the works of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. Because the very next verse after that, it says, and the works of the Spirit are, and it enumerates all that is of the flesh. But the first part, he calls it the fruit, but it's actually the work of the Spirit that's in us. His work is to produce love, the very nature of our Father, faith and hope, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and temperance. It's all part and parcel of the very nature of the Lord that's inside of us. But even then, I only had a few scriptures in the New Testament to tell me this particular portion. So, but God works in such a way that He has prepared everything right from the very beginning, because He gave the first promise where? In Genesis, at the fall in the garden. That's when He started establishing His word and placing it in there and making a promise of a salvation that would come at one point in time, at the fullness of time. He promised in Jeremiah 31:31 that He would take out of us the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And He would put His Spirit in us, and He would write His law in our minds and instill them in our hearts. You can go to Jeremiah 24:7 and you'll find something similar again. And then take Ezekiel 36, verse 26, and you'll find the very same promise given. How many is that? Three. And there's a lot more. I have a whole bunch of references that I've marked over the years as I come up to, oh, wait a minute, there's another. There's that promise being given again. Wow. So it was already planned at the very foundation, after the, even before the foundation of the world. Because when you read the word at the end in Revelation, it says that our names were written in the book of the Lamb. When? Before the foundation of the world. So God knew it was going to happen. Why? Because He's the one that was going to do it. All we had to do is receive it and appropriate it. That's why in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, it says, work out the salvation of your souls. Our spirit is new. And the very nature of the Father is in us. It's already there. With everything, every promise that are written in that book, it's already in that. It's inherent because that's part of His nature. And we receive the fullness, not just a little bit. We have received the fullness of who God is. But until we work it out, that this year, you know, spit out or gets done away with everything that is contrary to what is written in there and what He has promised us. It's there, it belongs to us, but it's not operable. It's not operating in us, it's not doing bringing the fruit in our life until we work it out. How do you work it out? Confessing. I loved a message in it. It's His fault. Taking certain parts of scripture that says who you are, sticking them onto a mirror in the bathroom, and then speaking to that reflection of yourself in the mirror. I am righteous, the righteousness of God, created in Christ Jesus. I am seated at the right hand of the Father on His throne in Christ Jesus. These are all realities given to us in the Word. But are they a reality in your life? That's what I had a problem with at first. Yeah, I saw it in the Word. I agreed with it. But just agreeing with it, does it bring it real in my life? No. I have to confess it. I have to use my mouth to bring about the renewing of my mind. doing away with the old and receiving the new until it becomes a reality. Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16 give us the very same part of that promise of God. And it's God that's doing it. It's not man. We're just to be cooperation, in the cooperation with the Father. He says in Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16, and I will write my laws in their hearts and instill them in their minds. That means make them real. But then you take 10:16 and it reverses. Instead of writing them in their heart, it says, I will write them in their mind and instill them in their heart. Both ways. Two verses. But they're a confirmation of Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Because it's the same way. And when it says in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, I will remove the heart of stone from within them. Does that remind you of something? What was the law written on? Tablets of stones. It's a reference to the heart of man because we had become so hard-headed or hard-hearted that we could not see through in the things of God, and that's why mankind always walked away from God in the world.
But somebody saw a hammer.
Yeah. His word by his spirit, when spoken through the anointed word, will break down all of these strongholds. That's why the word has become so real in us, so that the operation of the Holy Spirit can come in and break down everything that is not of him in there and instill and make real in our lives everything that God has promised in his word. It's the only way it's going to come. But that's our part. See, God is not going to do it all just outrightly, just come in today and say, well, okay, gotta change all her mind, her attitude, her sentiments, everything, and just turn her upside down. Sovereignly. He's not going to do that. Why?
Free will.
Free will. He has given us the ability to make choices, but it's up to us as to the choices that we make. Amen. And that's one of the reasons for people that have not, you know, totally abandoned themselves to God, it is one of the reasons why we haven't seen much power in the church at large, the children of God. Because, I mean, let's face it, it's sad when you're going around and you're hearing non-Christians, people of the world that say, well, hey, if that's all they have, who wants it? And I mean, I've heard it so many times, it's not even funny. Even to the point where I started to question the Lord. Something is missing. Something is just not there. We don't see the reality of what you say in your word. Yet, it was a reality in the disciples' life. The apostles of the first century. I mean, they were seeing miracles, the dead raised, and all that kind of stuff. But how many today in the body of Christ see that kind of ministry, this kind of result? You know, somebody walking in here and it's, you know, completely sick, so bad that he has a hard time even standing on his own 2 feet, and then walking out of here completely healed. We see that once in a blue moon. Most churches don't even bother praying for the sick. Can't do that. And then they have the gall to say that they are Christians and that they are Christ-like. They're walking in the ways of God and in the truth of God. Come on. Something is just totally wrong. How many of you have heard messages speaking about the power of the blood of Jesus in the last 15 or 20 years? Most churches will not talk about the blood of the Lord. And yet it's the very blood, it's his blood that cleanses us. It's his very blood that is the power within us, because it's in his blood that life is That's just one. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to just use us the way He wants to? You've had a little example tonight where, you know, some of you, it was just a totally new experience. I thank the Lord that it's an experience that I had been living for about 15 or 18 years. But it's not with everybody that I can do it, especially in the area where I am. I have one person, when we meet, and we just grab that person's hand, just like this, and we start. There's not a word, because he's French, he doesn't speak a word of English. All of our conversations are in the Spirit. And there comes a point, just believe it or not, we get to a point where we just start laughing, and sometimes he ends up flattening his back from the things the Lord is doing. And most of the people will say, what's this? We never seen that in the Word. Oh. The Word of God says that we no longer know one another according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How are you going to get to know one another in the Spirit if you don't use that very gift? You just got a little bit of a show tonight, a short experience. Start getting into this and using it often, and you'll see what it does to you. And the blessing that will flow from that is unbelievable. But yeah, that's right. We'll leave it at that for the moment.
Would you give the Lord a clap offering?